Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Deborah Mathis. I am the radio host and coach of Energy for Success podcast, and I've invited along my guest co-host, Divya Parikh, to join me. How are you doing, Divya?
Oh, I'm doing good, Deborah. How are you?
Good. So glad to have you. I've also invited a wonderful guest and colleague. Her name is Michelle Smalls. She is going to be dynamite tonight. We're going to have a wonderful show. I want to go ahead and introduce her. Michelle Small has more than 10 years of human resources experience in industries such as healthcare and technology. She currently holds her PHR certification in human resources and a master's in business administration. Her career began in the healthcare industry, where she was instrumental in helping to achieve business objectives and goals. And through her exposure in the healthcare and then in the technology industry, it has allowed her to develop a unique blend of skills and expertise in her career. So I am so excited to have her join us this evening, Divya, for this very special topic, being yourself, unveiling your mask in the workplace. Divya, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Hello, everyone. This is Divya. I am a leadership wellness coach. Also, I'm a speaker and author. Recently contributed to a book that has got international bestseller. It's called The Voyage to Your Vision. And I help executives, professionals, and youth, as well as coaches, to clarify the vision, to crystal clarity, find the blocks that's stopping them from moving forward, and gain the inspired confidence to create and execute the action plan. And I am so honored to be here with you, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Divya. And I'll go ahead and introduce myself as well to the audience. In addition to being your host this evening, I am the president of E2S Solutions Professional Coaching here in Dallas, Texas. I work with stress, high-achieving, career-focused single women over 35 who want to find more purpose in their work, recognize their energy levels, and ways to better handle their career, marriage, and face the future fearlessly by utilizing the Energy Leadership Index Assessment. This is a tool that I use with them that shows how the dimensions of an individual woman leader's perception and her professional and personal environment can work together to create leadership excellence in all facets of their lives. I want to invite our listeners to call in tonight and participate in this live session. Michelle and I and Divya will have a host of information to share with you this evening, so please join us and get your questions answered and comments. The dial-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. Tonight, again, I've invited Michelle Smalls, who is an HR director, to join Divya and I as we come to the table to have a real conversation about double glass ceilings for minority executives to advance to the top. For some, that may mean the C-suite. And the belief of wearing various masks is needed in order to succeed. Our experiences, what we're going to talk about tonight, are our experiences in the corporate environment, how we advanced in our careers, how we overcame personal perception biases and stereotypes, and how our career choices and transitions help us to define success on our own terms. We'll also discuss ways a person can overcome these barriers with self-expression by taking risks to unveil their mask to true authenticity, and why that is important for organizations, and to also address how organizations should also meet us at the table to allow self-expression in the workplace in order to retain top diverse talent. So again, Divya, tell me your thoughts on that, or if you would like to add to that discussion for tonight.
Oh, absolutely. There have always been conversations about glass ceilings where we are always hesitant to talk about it. And it's not only prevalent for minority executive leaders, it has been observed for all women leaders. And the thing is, to look at it in perspective, is that sometimes the data that shows us that, you know, there are fewer leaders at the top is also due to a couple of things. One is when women tend to get married and have kids, they like to take a backseat to nurture their family, which is not reflected upon, because currently the way a corporate is built is not simple to have both the family life as well as the corporate life, especially as you're climbing up the ladder. As you rise up the ladder, you need to put in a whole lot of time and effort, and especially for minority executives, they have to put in a whole lot. It's double the effort. So as it is, there is an effort, increased effort with a gender, and being minority, sometimes that can be an additional effort because of some of the things that are left unsaid.
You bring up a good point, and that can also be considered a mask as well. At work, we wear different masks, one that makes us look good, they get us promoted, help us earn more money or power. And these masks are usually, Divya, they're unconscious to the wearer, but evident to those who work with them. So as you mentioned, women professionals, especially those that may consider pursuing building a family or starting a family, they too are adding another mask because they're having the family that they're considering and that dynamic, as well as bringing that over into the workplace. And here are just some of few of the many masks that we see in the workplace. And I also want to invite Michelle to join us in this conversation as I read this list out as well. It's either it has to be perfect, I'm better than you, do as I say, not as I do, fake it till you make it. Boy, have I heard that many, many times. I'm only here for myself. I must win at all cost. And there's also the feminist or social cultural mask. So Michelle, I want to ask you to invite us in here. Did I miss any mask that diverse professionals that you have encountered in your profession?
No. I think we all kind of fall into those particular buckets. The mask is, you know, kind of one of those particular things that, you know, we wear at work, at home, and in many various places. But, you know, my experience, and just to touch on just a little bit, you know, it's really about coming in, especially in a workplace environment where you're having to, you know, kind of go with the behaviors and the expectations or perceptions on how they want you to behave, especially if you're aspiring to go to a higher level. And as you're moving up that your career track and trying to reach executive levels, there's a certain expected way that you have to behave. And many of us, I'm going to come from an HR particular standpoint, you know, not pointing out, anything from a diversity or, you know, from a minority perspective, but really coming from the fact that if you want to get to those higher levels of positions that you're striving for, there's a way that you have to speak. There's a way that you have to communicate. There's a way that you have to see how you look to others as you are trying to move up that career ladder. And most times, it gets very tiring because you're becoming other than yourself. You're having to probably go to events, you know, having to spend long meetings and really having to control the passion that you have or the ideas that you have, because if it does not get perceived well, then it could cause or cost you maybe moving up that particular ladder. So I'll stop there.
I am so glad you brought that up, because in a report that I recently read that has been published by RHR International, it is called Journey to the Top, Developing the African American Executive. They cited that there are a variety of research studies in which women and minorities are depicted as possessing characteristics unsuited for leadership, which additionally includes a variety of racial stereotypes, such as we've all heard the angry black woman or the angry black man. And with African Americans, they are stereotyped as antagonistic and lacking competency. Latinos are stereotyped as being uneducated and unambitious, and Asians are quiet and unassertive. As a result, an estimated 60% of minority professionals don't realize their talent potential in the workplace because they don't confidently believe that they can be themselves. So, Divya, I want to ask you, what effect does labeling have on, let me back up. I want to ask you this question. What kind of problems have you seen with Asian women in corporate life?
So one of the things Michelle brought up, and you brought it out as well, is that we have to pull back our passion, because let's face it, currently the women numbers on the leadership team, or as we talk about in the C-suite, are minimal. So as Michelle mentioned, there's a certain way of dressing up, behaving. It's more about becoming one of the boys. And as you become one of the boys, so you are losing some of your authenticity, partly due to that. And now sometimes, as you mentioned very effectively, that, you know, different races can be stereotyped, and that's inclusive of any race. Like, it could be people from Europe or from certain different countries, and they're always labeled. And then same thing, so for example, what I've seen is that Asians are categorized into two. Either they're very hardworking and quiet, where they're not very assertive, or in some of the cases, what has been seen is that some of the Asian women are also called extremely competitive and aggressive. So that's the thing that, okay, if a woman is pushing for her career, then she can be interpreted as being aggressive or being as non-female, so to speak, you know, not bringing that soft side of her. So that's the problem we have seen. And again, that label, what happens is that label is extended to individuals unknowingly. It's not done knowingly, however, the way it's, you know, it's part of our society. That's how we have been conditioned to think about. And that's what I've seen, is that when that happens, it's almost like, you know, women step into that personality, or they step into the expectation that's expected of them. And doing that removes their authenticity.
And what effect does labeling have that you've seen?
The effect that I've seen is that, you know, women do not be themselves, and because they're not themselves, they're not able to perform the way they can perform. Even though they have the potential, sometimes they lose their potential, and sometimes they don't even know that they have the potential and gain the confidence. So, for example, there are several women who are very quiet, and they think, oh, you know, I just need to keep on working hard. And then they go ahead and even make an effort to get promoted. However, if it's pushed on the side and it's communicated to them, oh, let's sit down at the performance review time, and you go through a few points, you need to work on this, this, this. So rather than taking the baton in their hands, they let it impact themselves. And that's where the categorizing really has an impact, that, you know, women tend to lose their confidence. And that's where a couple of things need to happen for our listeners, if somebody's listening, is to step into it knowing, okay, even if that labeling is there, we can do something about it.
What have you seen, Michelle, in your role, in terms of the reasons why African American women who are considered underrepresented in senior level positions? Why do you think, what contributes to that?
Well, there's a couple of things, and I'm really going to start with culture. You know, every organization has a culture, and I really want to just give the definition so that I can paint the picture. You know, culture, you know, according, you know, to the dictionary, it's the total of inherited ideas, beliefs, values, and knowledge, which constitutes the shared basis of social action. So if we think about the culture of an organization, individuals have their own culture that they're coming from. So they're joining an organization with certain ideas, inherited ideas and beliefs and values that they bring from their own culture, from their homes. And so when you're coming into an organization and those particular people with those ideas and beliefs and values, and they're in leadership positions, drive perceptions or beliefs or ideas on how a person should be or act or behave. And so with African Americans, there is an systemic on how we're viewed from a society standpoint. So when an African American joins an organization, they're coming with their own ideals and beliefs and culture into a culture that's different. And because we're seen sometimes different from a cultural standpoint to usually in these organizations that have different people that are coming from different cultures, we are labeled sometimes, as you mentioned earlier, as angry. And that's because we're sometimes in television, media, in certain ways. And so some of those things, unfortunately, kind of flow into the workplace. So if we're talking about African Americans, especially executives that actually start to climb that ladder, can get labeled. If for whatever reason they're in a meeting, something doesn't go their way, or they're passionate, or their body movements seem a little bit more aggressive than normal, then sometimes that can be misconstrued as being angry. And I'm going to tell you, within the article that you mentioned, A Journey to the Top, I read that also. There's a little insert, and I just want to read it. You know, it says, the myth of the angry black executive. It says, ironically, when the mask slips, and this is when we're talking about wearing those masks because we're trying to move up, we're trying to kind of incorporate ourselves, usually due to extreme stress or fatigue, the African-American executive may become more authentic. So meaning that we get passionate when something comes up. So sometimes this unfilteredness comes out of us, out of our persona. And it's leading to behaviors that seem out of place or unusual to the majority culture colleagues. So this is what you're seeing. And usually, most times, it leads to possibly, well, we can't move this person up at this particular time. This person may need some more development. They need a little bit more coaching. And so you'll hear terms like that when it comes to African American executives. But that's how the labeling starts. It kind of is systemic from society. From society, it moves into the workplace only because individuals hold their own culture. So, you know, that's kind of how, you know, I view it.
Okay. I see that we do have a caller on the line. I want to go ahead and invite them to join us at this time. Good evening. You are on Energy for Success. Who are we speaking with?
Yes. Hi, it's Tamara Cosley Robinson, fellow host, and joining in your conversation. It's one of those things that's near and dear to the work that I have been recently doing. And so wanted to add some thoughts.
Well, welcome, Tamara. It's so good that you called in. Go ahead and tell us who you work with and what's your position and your comments.
Yeah, absolutely. And so up until recently, I've been employed with PwC, a large organization, and my role there was in the Office of Diversity. And so, you know, many of the things that you're talking about on this show were some of the things that, you know, we certainly had to address, if you will. But the other part of it is also personal, right? Because I have been in leadership roles within the firm. For my last role was a director level job. And, you know, I think that, and I was in that role for about 9 years. And so I think a lot of the things that you have brought up are true to a certain extent. And I say that because in all things, relationships matter, in all things. And so, you know, the one thing about television is that it's not real. Okay. And so, and it's an escape to real life. Right. And so, but people get caught in the matrix, if you will, and they think mm-hmm. that what they see is real. And so not only do people think that what they see about and what they think about and what they think are true about certain people, of course, if they don't have that experience one-on-one, they're going to either take what they've seen or take what they've heard to be true. And then, you know, they will see and make up things or see if things will help to filter and create a space where, okay, yep, I can see where that person is just like I thought they were. But, you know, it's just not always real or true. And so some of the things that I've done, not necessarily in my diversity role, but just as I've grown within the firm, is that, you know, once you get to know people and they get to know you, your level of conversation changes. And when you have a different level of conversation, you have a different level of understanding. And so it also you also get a chance to test what you think you know about someone else, as well as they have a chance to put to the test what they think they know about you. And I think that that's where growth really happens. And some real understanding of who you are, who you really are, can come out. It takes time, and everyone in that are, you know, people who are finding themselves in those relationships have to want to be in those relationships.
Tamara, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How has your race and gender shaped your development as a leader?
My race and gender shaped who I was or who I am as a leader. I you know, the role that I had was in a male-dominated field, only because I like playing in the boys' arena better than playing in a girl's arena. I'm very competitive. I'm very, you know, boys tend to be very straightforward. They don't hold any grudges. It is what it is, and then they move on. And I love it. And so that was different for me, you know, it being in a technology space, very, very different. But the other thing that worked for me is that I think I had patience where maybe others didn't. And I had that understanding that there are people that we're dealing with when we're providing this service where some others may not. So anytime people met me, they were like, well, you can't be in technology. I'm like, well, why not? Well, you actually listened to me, and I actually understood what you meant when you were explaining that technical thing. And I said, well, I wasn't trying to dumb it down, quote unquote, but I did want you to understand it, so I just put it in terms that you can understand. And so people like that. People don't want to feel like they're inferior, and I never felt like I needed to make people feel that way, so I didn't do that. Whenever I felt that way, and I have evolved over time, I had to remember that people can't make you feel anything. It's how are you perceiving how they're making you feel? Are you allowing them to make you feel that way? Are they reminding you of somebody else and you're transported back into another time and space? You know, there are things that other people can't be responsible for. I have to be responsible for me. So, you know, I think that I was always in a unique position to shine, but I have to be completely honest in saying that, you know, I was the only one at that level in my area, and the people who helped me to get there did not look like me, and they were often not women were, you know, instrumental in me getting to where I was getting, they were various white men over time. Not saying that there weren't other women who helped, but you know, the people who were in my space were open enough, and I can be proud enough to say that the firm was one of those firms that really, you know, wanted to project those things, and it was there. You know, it changed over time, but certainly I was in a good place. And you have to do some things that are uncomfortable sometimes. I wasn't always wanting to go and hang out and stay late and do this and do that. But, you know, you have to be where the decisions are made. So if you decide that you're not going to go hang out, then you're deciding that, and you don't have to hang out all the time, but you have to hang out enough so that people don't forget about you.
Tamara, thank you so much. If you have more time, I would love for you to stay on later and bring you back, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, Tamara brought up some very key points there, and I just want to put it out there to you, and that is taking a different look at, is there an assumption that is all about perception concerning organization culture? She worked at PwC, which embraces, if you will, self-expression, authenticity. Yet there are times everyone doesn't have that luxury to work in such a firm who is innovative and forward thinking in that perspective. So I want to open it up to Michelle. Is there an assumption that perhaps, as Tamara mentioned, you know, life imitates art to a certain degree, being that non-minorities, is there an assumption that non-minorities are not wearing multiple masks as well? And that is only us?
I think she brought up more than a few valid points. I mean, I have to say that, yes, it's all about relationships. It's all about creating alliances and comfort levels with those individuals that, you know, you're looking to kind of help, you know, support you and help you move up your career ladder. But I think that she mentioned something key. She said, you know, I wasn't always wanting to kind of hang out. I didn't always really want to go to parties, but she realized there was a necessity to do that. Now, when it comes down to wearing the mask, is a lot of us find it difficult, and it becomes sometimes very stressful. Every organization is different. PwC happens to be one of those organizations that embrace. Not all organizations are aware or diversity friendly. But when it comes down to these particular things, it wears, because you've got to be in a certain way. And if you don't have or haven't cultivated or had that support, then it becomes difficult, because you're always trying to, you have to effectively communicate the way they perceive communication needs to be presented. And what they're finding is that African Americans that are coming in to those managerial positions and moving up that executive track don't have the quite development that is needed. And so that if there's organizations that are out there that are not supporting and kind of putting them in to these type of fast track management specific courses to kind of help them integrate into that world, then, you know, individuals tend to feel, it can be African Americans or Asians or Latinos, it doesn't matter. When you're trying to integrate yourself and you don't have that support, you know, you have to always put a smile on your face, even when you don't. And when you're trying to please or trying to create those partnerships and you don't have that development piece and you don't have that communication piece and you don't know how to collaborate, and you know, and there may be a scenario or situation where you may not be viewed properly, meaning you might be a little bit too passionate about something or too ingrained in something, and it looks and the perceptions are all, you know, all things. This is what causes that strain, because no matter what, everyone wears a mask. No matter what, whatever it is, if I'm going to do what I need to do to get that position, I'm going to smile. I'm going to go out. I'm going to make friends. Whatever you need to do, everybody wears a mask. The key is that we have to learn how to be ourselves, meaning that we should be able to, you know, communicate and not feel the stress that, well, if I don't say this something in this particular way, I might get misconstrued as being angry or not cooperative or not understanding. So, I mean, there are so many different faucets, but, you know, I think those are some of the things that we're talking about is the stress. It's that mask. It's that, man, I got to go and I have to be a certain way, and God, I can't wait to get out of there, because what happens is once you drive home and you're in your car and you're just reflecting on the day, all you're thinking to yourself is, wow, thank God I get to be myself. I get to go and speak the way I want to speak and play my music the way I want to play my music in the car and just kind of zone out. And that's what I think, the perspective I'm coming from, because I've been both places and I've seen it, and it's wearing on anyone who is in those positions. But the key is if you're going to take that route, you've got to learn how to communicate the way they perceive it. If you're in their organization, you've got to learn how to, like she said, build relationships, because relationships is important if you're in an organization and you're trying to move up that scale. And you got to have interpersonal awareness. You've got to be able to see how people are viewing you in all scenarios. So, I mean, that's just my take. I don't know if Divya has a different perspective, but, I mean, that's how, you know, I tend to, you know, I kind of been there and seen it in my world. Did I lose you?
Oh, Deborah?
I'm here. Divya, before you jump in, I want to go ahead and remind our listeners of the number to call in, which is 646-716-9397. I also want to go ahead and plug our next three shows on the network, starting with Mark My Words with certified life and business coach Mark Schell. His show airs this Sunday, March 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Next show is So You Found Your Passion, Now What? With Charissa Sebastian. I will also be joining her on that show, which airs Monday, March 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Also, we have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca Live, which airs March 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. My next show airs on next Thursday, March 19th, which I will be kicking off a series called Balanced Relationships. And I will start out the series with Courtship and Dating, Know the Difference. And my guest coach will be Carolyn Owens. And that show will be featured on Life Coach Chat Channel. I'm tight-tongued tonight. Let me say that again. Life Coach Chat Channel. There we go. So I wanted to, Divya, before you jump in, I wanted to make a comment what Michelle has said earlier. And I want to circle back to recruiting, because in my career as a recruiting professional and a coach, many, 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 many times when the hiring manager is in the IT space is getting ready to staff an engagement, that consideration for the client comes into play. And when there's the candidate pool presented, many, many times I've seen time and time again through the feedback where they will either indicate with the majority candidates. They like their energy about them. There's something about their energy. The whole feedback was about a person's energy. However, when it came to minority candidates that went through the interview process, particularly African-American males, it was either communication came up. This person needs coaching around their communication skills. And I think that lends to that perception biasness, which we've talked about during this show, of the perception of the angry Black executive. So we've talked about the passion, but are we really talking about, because passion is a word that's kind of thrown around a lot lately. Either you're passionate about your job or passionate about pursuing your purpose, or you're passionate about what you feel. So I want to go ahead and clarify, when we're talking about passion or we're passionate about, there tends to be that emotional attachment, that personal attachment to the intention. So when it comes to that perception of whites, and the difference being that they're usually more reserved, or they have learned how to manage their emotions, which we also have heard emotional intelligence come in. So Divya, I want to turn that over to you, if you could speak about emotional intelligence in leadership development.
Oh, absolutely, Deborah. That's something that's very close to my heart, because I do employ that in my leadership coaching of executives and professionals. So one of the things, including Tamara, Michelle, and you have mentioned, is that being authentic. So first of all is, during the daytime, it's about creating three things. Creating the intention, how do you want to live in that day? And that can be as simple as, one could be engaged. I'm just giving out a 2 to 3 examples. Second could be active listening. Third could be having the courage. So for example, if we talk about being engaged in the moment, we can use the mindful awareness, where the emotional intelligence stems from. And then you have that mindful awareness, it's automatically, it will help you to build the relationship. And what is mindful awareness? It's the awareness of yourself. Say when somebody has told you something, do you stiffen up? Are you communicating something with your body language that you are not communicating with your words, and actions? So if you're aware, automatically, if you're relaxing, especially in a confrontational situation, then somebody who's sitting right across you during the meeting will relax as well, because the energy that you're giving out, and Deborah, you talked about the energy, that makes such a huge difference. They say that you can communicate 75 to 80%. That's what we perceive as human beings. There's several studies done that. So the first is that mindful awareness, also being aware of what other people are saying, taking that pause. I'm a fan of pause. When somebody says something, pause, reflect, turn your body towards them, listen to them intently. And when you are listening to them, you will see whether their eyes are reflecting tension as they're speaking about something, or they're listening or paying attention, or is there something else on their mind. And when you listen actively, when you're paying full attention to someone else, then what happens is you will instinctively know whether it's the right time to broach a subject or not. And as it happens, the perception changes. The perception changes. That, let's just take a name as Susan. Susan is highly intelligent. Susan really cares about other people. So regardless of your race or gender, you are bringing your authenticity to the table because you're bringing that caring, you're bringing that feminine side that we can employ, our nurturing side, where we care about people. And when we give that respect to the other person, automatically there's a shift in the energy, there's a shift in the relationship. And bringing that relationship, bringing that empathy into that equation, taking that pause before you react, so take time to respond. So one thing I will share is, maybe I've shared it before in one of your calls, Deborah, is I found a point I can go. That before anybody asks you a question, before you say no, take 24 seconds to reflect on it before you say no to it or before you answer your question. If it's a really important question, then take 24 minutes and say, it's possible. Let me ponder over it and I'll get back to you. And if it's a huge decision, take 24 hours to sleep on it and then get back.
Thank you, Divya. Thank you for sharing those tips, because that's a great segue that leads into how do we get these masks to come off. And each of you ladies have resoundingly said self-awareness, building relationships, personal engagement, and what really sounds out is authenticity. And what I've seen happen as well when I work with individuals, they come to me, especially after performance review, and Michelle, you can attest to this, is that if it's not a favorable performance review where there's been areas of development discussed, what about the professional that's sitting here listening to our us this evening, and they're talking about, well, I just want to be myself. I want to be able to be myself. Why do I have to conform to their way? Why in this culture, in the workplace? And what I would like to put out there is the most profound way for the wearer of the mask is to either have an experience from their behavior that is so painful that it jolts them to really confront themselves. Because as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, sometimes we're not even aware of what mask we're wearing or the intent behind that mask. Why do we even have it on in the first place? That's first of all. Why do we even have it on in the first place? Who told us we have to wear it? And Tamara touched on that earlier about personal power, about confidence. So, Michelle, I want to bring you back into conversation in terms of in looking at self-awareness, in looking at advancing our careers as minority professionals, how important is coaching in this dynamic? Because we've seen individuals, our white counterparts who may be placed in fast track programs, or not just our white counterparts, but we've seen individuals who've been tapped to be fast tracked. And the question is, how can one get in on that? Because not all minorities have been privileged to have a coach. What are your thoughts about coaching?
Well, coaching is very important, and I've done, you know, quite a bit of, you know, coaching in my time, and what I find is that, yeah, usually when, you know, when it's performance time and, you know, some of the things, some of the competencies come up and there's areas of improvement that come out, I think one of the things coaching can do is teach you to communicate. A lot of times we don't realize how we're communicating. you know, like Divya mentioned, by body language or, you know, other, you know, types of communication. There's all types of communication, but coaching allows you to be able to communicate effectively within the organization so that your impact is seen as positive and strong. Coaching can also say, okay, well, how are you collaborating? Let me give you some, you know, a roadmap or some tips on how to improve your collaboration. How are you interacting with others? How are you receiving others? How are you receiving feedback? How receptive are you to feedback? And so coaching allows that moment for that person to understand where their weaknesses are and allows them to take those weaknesses and create strengths for them. And usually, if a person goes through coaching and puts the time, and it takes time, as everything does, but if you put the time and allow the coaching to allow you to improve, usually individuals will see a turn in their career and in places where it's critical. Again, communication, collaboration, how you view yourself are the most important competencies that when we're, you know, considering if you're ready now for a position or you got 3 to 5 years to get there, those are some of the things that we look at. And coaching will allow a person to utilize all the tools that we have in improving the development in those particular areas that could be seen as weaknesses or may be weaknesses in that particular person.
Let's say we have an individual. I'm going to go back to the line and see if Tamara is still with us and see if she has anything she would like to contribute to this conversation here. Tamara, are you still with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely there with you and certainly agree with that last comment. You know, a lot of times now I'm not going to say that bias does not exist, you know, but a lot of times we see ourselves sometimes playing into the hands of the people who are perceiving us in certain ways. And absolutely knowing more about yourself and how you can be a better professional, right? A better professional, not a better Black woman. A better professional will help you in the long run. Will it mean that you'll have abilities to succeed in the organization that you're in? Maybe, maybe not. But it's always going to benefit you as an individual. One thing I wanted to make sure that I mentioned is a book, and it's called Blind Spot. And Dr. Banaji is the author of this book. And she has done studies of people all around the world. And the basic thought around this book, and if you guys have not read it, it's amazing. I've seen her speak, and she's spot on, that we all walk into situations with a blind spot. So if you think about when you're driving and you have that one part in the quarter of the back of your car that no matter how much you look, you still can't see the car when it's in that one little piece of, you know, behind you and on the side of you. Everybody has a blind spot. And questions and pauses, like Divya has already mentioned, and a lot of these things don't always come to people naturally, but as coaches, we know how important a pause is. And the pause is to suspend thought for a hot second about what you think it is that you just saw and not to make up the story. So Blind Spots is a great book about how we all have these little parts of our brains that keeps us from understanding the person who's in front of us. And, you know, it's really about understanding where your blind spots lie and doing what you can to close the gap and understand better. So, you know, there's definitely something to this, because if not, you know, our corporations and our companies would look very, very different. in the C-suite and in places of leadership. But, you know, we all have to be responsible for ourselves.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so much. My question to the panel here, Michelle, those that have successfully transitioned from mid-management to senior executive level, are they able to be in a place of influence where they can help others along without double jeopardy? Have you encountered any situations which could be a challenge there for some employees?
It can be, but I think it's about education. You know, I've been in situations, you know, where I've seen it, and it's really about educating and really getting, and it's usually the CEO to get on board. Once the CEO is on board and he embraces it and embraces, you know, the whole idea of, you know, diversity and inclusion and really driving the opportunities for minorities in the workplace, then really it takes on a different tone, and it allows situations where we can get more programs or more traction when it comes to these particular type of situations. So it can go either way, but it's just about educating. You have to educate. You have to show the benefits of it. And I think the way we're trending today, we're doing that. There's more and more that I'm seeing about diversity and inclusion. It's an initiative that a lot of organizations are taking, but, you know, from my experience, it's got to come from the top. And, you know, we laughed about it earlier, but, you know, it's when you're in an organization and you're trying to move up the ladder, one of two things you're going to have to think about. If you're going to stay in that organization or that environment and you want to keep going up that ladder, then you got to make a decision on what you need to do to get there and how you need to fight and how you need to mold yourself, you know, in the right way to create the traction. Yes, you're going to get hit with hurdles, but it's all depending on your determination. The other thing is that, remember, it's not your organization. The culture came with the person who began the organization. So you got options. You don't always have to stay in an organization that doesn't embrace your beliefs and values. You can either look for an organization that does, or you can become an entrepreneur and create your own culture and beliefs and how you want to view and how you want to run your organization and what you'll accept and not accept. So those are the options, and those are the things that we have to think about.
I am so glad you brought that up, because it is individuals about, instead of just approaching the traditional job search as is usually done, either through some type of social media or career fair or whatever type of event there is, start planning your career with a purpose. Approach it strategically. We're in an information there's constant change and movement. And you have to know who you are. It's imperative that you know the company culture. And it's also important to know the needs, meaning how much does the organization need me and how much do I need the organization? You put it so diplomatic, Michelle. If the needs do not match up or in alignment with your values and who you are as a person, you have to come from a place of integrity. Then expand your options with a global perspective, because you know what? Because the business world is constantly changing and growing and becoming more, as technology becomes more advanced and international dealings become the norm for many businesses, because of this, companies are looking for employees who are globally minded. So not only are you taking a look at yourself personally, what your beliefs are, what your self-perception are, what your filters are, but now you have to take that even a step further to expand that globally. Because here's what's going to happen. Employees who have a global cultural awareness can help other companies successfully negotiate diverse situations as the international business sector grows. Excuse me. What are your thoughts about that, ladies?
I think you're right on. I think you're right on.
Divya, do you see that also happening in leadership coaching as well?
That's absolutely right. I see it in the same way, and the way I see it is there are always going to be obstacles regardless of where we are. It's about strategic thinking. It's about thinking, you know, researching your career, knowing your values, and taking your values and researching the company that you want to be with, because there are several companies who are having that effort going towards diversity, whose culture is very accommodating. So it's about aligning your values along with the organization. And saying that, Deborah, I would have to ask for your permission to take your leave of yourself. And so I would like to take a moment to thank you and Michelle and Tamara to be in such great company, because I've learned so much today. So thank you again.
Before you leave, Divya, could you quickly share with the listening audience again how they can reach you?
Absolutely. You can reach me at contact@diviaparekh.com, and you can also reach out my website, which is www.diviaparekh.com, where you can find several different resources, and there's a free report that you can download. And again, it's been an honor and privilege. Thank you.
Thank you, Divya. Have a good rest of the evening. Since we're at the top of the hour, Michelle, is there anything else you would like to add as we're getting ready to wrap up?
No, I think you said it best, is that we've got to be strategic when it comes to our decisions and our careers and our lives. And if we move with purpose, then we can't go wrong. That's it. And thank you for allowing me to share this space with you and Divya as well. I enjoyed the show, and thank you.
You're more than welcome. So here's the final thoughts I'd like to leave with our audience, and that is, here's what's not going to change: your ethnicity. Secondly, we all wear some kind of mask in the workplace and at home. But I do ask you to consider looking in the mirror today and asking yourself, what mask might you be wearing that others see so readily that you did not see or did not want to see? Then consider the brave step of taking that mask off just for one day. If you can't even do it one day, at least try an hour to see how it feels. Maybe it won't be as scary as you think. Why? Because as each lady have shared with us this evening, Michelle, Divya, Tamara, myself, because authenticity matters to your success. When a woman is operating at her most authentic self, she simultaneously feels and is viewed as being a more effective leader. Not that when she's hiding behind a mask, but when she is able to come forth as her authentic true self, she is viewed as a catalyst for meaningful and positive change. A high performer, confident individual, and a critical player in the organization's overall success. You have 7 choices to decide what image you want to project based on whom you are to create a new ideal life you want to leave. If you don't know where to start, you're not alone. You have Michelle here who has shared a wealth of good insight with us, Divya, myself, who can help you get started. Divya has shared her contact information with you, how she can be reached. Also, the best way to reach me is through my website, which is engagedtosuccess.com, where you can learn how E2S works to create a tailored approach that aims to tap into your interpersonal resources, shift your energy, known as the E factor, to understand and advance you as a woman, as an individual, and as a leader. The tool that I use is the Energy Leadership Index Assessment, which is a one-of-a-kind assessment. You can also schedule a discovery consultation with me online. The Energy for Success podcast is happily to be sponsored by Life Coach Radio Network and Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including what you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up for our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you will get 1 free audio book and a 1-month trial of the service. As Tamara has recommended a book, Blind Spots, go to audible.com and see if that is one of the books that you can receive for free. Today's radio podcast will also be available for download on facebook.com/lifecoachradionetworks and iTunes. Again, I want to say thank you to my wonderful guest, Michelle Small, for joining me. Divya, I know that you had to leave early, but I also want to thank you so much for co-hosting. And Tamara, thank you so much for calling in and joining us and giving your comments and insight about your career and that journey as well. Thank you for listening to Energy for Success. Have a great evening.